feel like the respiratory viral panels have been lighting up like Christmas trees.
Christmas trees, but not in a good way.
You have flu and RSV and rhinoenero and paraflu and COVID.
Oh, no.
It's like Oprah, but less good things.
Yeah, instead of a car, you get sick.
Welcome to the Rollin' Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rollin.
And I'm Dr. Alicia Rollin.
I'm a psychiatrist.
And I'm a pediatrician.
We're sisters, doctors. We believe in science and facts. How does the song go?
Doctor, sister, science.
Facts. Doctor, sister, science, facts. And this week, we decided to do a winter health check-in. Let's talk about what's actually happening with flu, RSV, and COVID right now. Especially this new, what are they calling it?
It's the subclade K.
That's right. And if your group chat is full of everyone is sick text again, you were not imagining it. Alicia was just working last night and got to see this firsthand, but we have flu, RSV, COVID, the regular cold viruses. They're just bouncing around. And like you said, this year, there's this new flu branch, the H3N2 subclade K. And that's been getting a lot of headlines. So today we're going to walk through four big questions. What is going on with flu right now, especially this new subclade K thing that you might have been hearing about? What's happening with RSV? And what's new for infants? Where does COVID fit in all of this? And then what is a realistic winter game plan for families that doesn't involve living in a bubble? Although at this point, I'm ready for the bubble.
So let's get started.
Let's do it. Going forward, Dr. Sister
Science Facts. Okay. So let's zoom out. As of very late November 2025, the CDC estimates in the US this year, we've had at least 650,000 people that have been sick with flu.
That's huge. 650,000?
It's ginormous. I was definitely one of those.
Oh.
Over 7,000 hospitalizations and about 300 deaths from influenza. So far, good news.
Good news. I'll take good news.
No pediatric flu deaths have been reported so far, according to the CDC.
And if you remember last season, kids were very much in the middle of things, with the CDC data showing that children ages 0 to 4 and 5 to 17 had the highest emergency department visit rates for flu. It was way higher than for adults.
Yes, I vividly remember that.
Do you remember it?
I was very busy. Very, very busy.
And so that's the flu. Let's flip for a moment to RSV. What's going on with RSV? What are you seeing right now, Alicia?
So RSV is respiratory syncytial virus. It remains one of the leading causes of hospitalizations among U.S. infants, causing an estimated 50 to 80,000 hospitalizations and about 100 to 300 deaths every year in children under 5.
Wow.
Recent real-time hospitalization data shows that while other respiratory virus hospitalizations kind of dipped in October, RSV-associated hospitalization in kids under 5 have been rising for the second month in a row, which is really classic early season RSV behavior. Like, we are in the midst of RSV season. Winter is here.
Winter.
Flu is here. RSV is here. And all the kids are sick.
So, like, feel a sneeze coming on just as you talk about that. So, flu's ramping up. RSV's ramping up. And let's not forget COVID. It hasn't vanished. Just because it's not dominating headlines now the way that it did back in 2020, it's still here. So, all of this is happening. And let's get into some details. Let's start with flu. So, Alicia, I've been hearing this phrase, subclade K, H3N2 subclade K, and honestly, it sounds like a villain from a sci-fi show. But what is it actually?
Oh my God, I'm like, it's the supervillain, subclade K.
It really does. I can, like, already see the cape.
He's here to make your nose stuffy.
And that you feel terrible.
Actually, flu makes you feel so terrible. So let's decode this. Influenza A, H3N2, is a mouthful already.
Yes.
It's one of the main flu types we see every year in humans.
Okay, so just for a rewind, for those of us who may not be doing the flu swabs every day, Influenza A is this flu type that has many fast-changing subtypes. It gets defined by these H proteins and these N proteins. So you may remember hearing about H1N1. That's a type of influenza A. Influenza B has only a couple of stable lineages, and then influenza C's much milder infections. So right now, when we're talking about the subclade H3N2, this is a type of influenza A, and they change really rapidly.
So not only does influenza A change really rapidly, within H3N2, the virus actually keeps evolving. And so if you think about it as a tree with a lot of branches, this subclade K is a new branch that's growing super quickly.
This sounds like the family tree, but it's a nightmare.
It's like bamboo. It grows so fast and then you can never get rid of it. Remember when mom planted bamboo? That was a mistake.
Yeah, the bamboo is probably still there. It's taken over that entire neighborhood.
So global analyses show that subclade K took off in the Southern Hemisphere season and now makes up the majority of H3N2 samples in a place like the UK and Japan, suggesting that it might dominate the Northern Hemisphere's flu season that's just getting started.
And it's important to look at trends in the Southern Hemisphere in order to predict what might happen in the Northern Hemisphere, because our seasons are flipped and flu just spreads more in winter. So now it's summer in the Summer Hemisphere. They're having a great time. But when we look at what happened during their flu season last winter, which was our summer, it tells us what might be coming for us. And something that everyone is talking about is this idea that the vaccine doesn't match. But Alicia, what does that even mean?
So every year, the flu vaccine is picked to protect against the most common subtypes of flu that are in the environment. And the 2025 to 2026 flu vaccine was picked before subclade K really took off. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes flu evolves after we have to make a decision.
Ugh. Does that mean that the vaccine is useless?
It doesn't mean that at all. And there are a few key points. One, a partial match still matters. Even when there's a mismatch, studies consistently show flu vaccines reduce severe disease and hospitalization, especially in kids and older adults who are at the highest risk.
That's amazing.
Two, your immune system remembers. It has memory. And so prior vaccinations and infections give cross-reactive immunity. It's not all or nothing. You're not only protecting against H1N1, you're also protecting against other types of flu.
That makes sense to me.
And then third, real-world data, not just lab assays, will tell us how well the vaccine performs. And those data are still emerging for this specific strain, although it's seeming like, from preliminary data from the UK, that this actually might be less bad than people are talking about.
So hold up, BRB, let me go text all my family members and just make sure that they're getting the flu shot if they haven't yet.
I think especially when there's a mismatch, it's even more important because people are going to get real sick and you want any level of protection.
Because I did hear some news reports that maybe this was hitting kids a little harder.
So international early reports suggest that subclade K may possibly be linked to more severe symptoms in older adults and children. But again, the data is limited and it's still being analyzed. We're early in this flu season. It's easier to report back after flu season is over what actually happened.
That makes sense to me. And I think it also makes sense to think about vaccinations for those highest risk flu groups. Every flu season, we see kids under 5, adults over 65, pregnant people, and people with chronic medical conditions being at the highest risk of complications from the flu.
And those chronic medical conditions include things that are not necessarily related to lungs. So yes, asthma and COPD increases your risk, but so does sickle cell disease and congenital heart disease.
So it sounds like for our family members and also our listeners, although it's late in the season, it's not too late to get a flu shot this year.
Definitely not too late. I would recommend rushing out to your pharmacy, getting a flu shot before you get the flu.
The CDC still recommends that everyone 6 months and older get a flu shot, and more than 120 million doses have already gone out this year. And like you said, even when it's a less than perfect match, getting vaccinated will lower the chance that your family member ends up in the ER or the hospital.
It also helps protect newborns, grandparents, other people in the household that are at higher risk. And very importantly, it actually makes antivirals like Tamiflu work better when you do get sick because you start from a better, stronger baseline.
I didn't know that about Tamiflu. That's really interesting. So it sounds like, sure, maybe it's not perfect, especially with the subclade K, but still very much worth it.
Especially for kids.
So that's flu in a short nutshell. Let's talk about RSV, because that's a virus that really scares parents of babies.
So RSV is respiratory syncytial virus. It's in you or me, in older kids, it often just presents as a common cold.
Are we older kids?
You and me, or older kids.
Okay, I was like, I'll take an older kid over an adult right now.
But in infants and young children, it's a leading cause of hospitalization. As we said earlier, nearly 100,000 hospitalizations and 100 to 300 deaths occur each year in U.S. children under five.
What's really exciting is some big changes the last couple of years that we have a few ways now to protect infants. So we've got a maternal RSV vaccine that can be given late in pregnancy and that will give protection to the fetus. There's a monoclonal antibody that can be given to infants, babies, during their first season, and it provides protection. And it can even be given to a small group of high-risk toddlers who are entering their second season if they need more protection. And we've talked about this in a prior episode looking at Health and Human Services, because these have been wonderful public health programs that have come out of the NIH and HHS's research programs.
I think we've also talked about it during ACIP. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices has looked at these under some more scrutiny. But currently, the recommendations from CDC and ACIP, they recommend for pregnant people a single dose of the maternal RSV vaccine. This is also known as the Pfizer Abrysvo.
I feel like there are some vowels missing in that word.
I feel like this is a game at the end of like, who can say these right? Abrysvo. It's Abrysvo. I clearly don't have a TV to watch all the commercials.
We need more commercials.
More commercials.
The point is that this is
a single dose recommended between 32 and 36 weeks of pregnancy, usually between September and January, and that will protect the baby during the first RSV season.
Though for infants under 8 months who are entering their first RSV season, if their birthing parent didn't get the RSV vaccine in late pregnancy, they can then get one dose of an RSV monoclonal antibody. I'm not going to try to say these, but ideally it's given in early fall, before RSV season starts, or at birth if they're born during the season.
Inflosia.
Inflosia.
That's the brand name. And for high-risk children between 8 and 19 months entering their second RSV season, giving an additional dose of one of the monoclonal antibodies can be recommended. And these are for kids who were born very prematurely, kids with chronic lung disease, with severe immunodeficiencies, or with certain types of illnesses.
So the good news is, although RSV is still scary and it's still causing a lot of hospitalizations and deaths among young children, if you're a parent, maybe you're pregnant or you have a young child, there are options. So talk to your OB about the maternal RSV vaccine if you're pregnant, or talk to your pediatrician about these monoclonal antibody options to help protect your child from RSV.
It really has been such a game changer. It's been really effective in reducing potentially severe RSV, but it's a little bit more complicated than just giving one shot. The exact product and timing just depends on the pregnancy timing, the baby's age, and their risk factors.
So it's a great thing to go to your pediatrician or your family's doctor about and get the specific recommendations for your case, but just know that there are options, and that's awesome. So that takes us through where flu is right now. That takes us through RSV, and we can't talk about these winter viruses, Alicia, without at least mentioning COVID. Where are we now?
So COVID, still here.
Still here.
Still here. It's shifted a little bit from everything everywhere to being one of many winter respiratory viruses that we're seeing, but it can still cause very severe disease, especially in older adults, people with chronic conditions, and kids with high-risk conditions.
And for the 2025-2026 COVID vaccine, the CDC is recommending a COVID-19 vaccine for people who are 6 months and older. There is this new controversial language about individual-based decision-making, basically shared decision-making. The point is, talk to your doctor about what's right for you and your family. Benefits of the COVID-19 vaccine have been demonstrated for many groups, and the benefits of the vaccine are really clear for people who are at increased risk of severe COVID.
And so while the CDC is still recommending COVID shots, weren't there memos going around? Did you read about any memos about how the COVID vaccine might actually be really dangerous?
There was some big and pretty unsettling headlines about this FDA memo that linked a very small number of deaths to COVID vaccination among children. And I think looking at that memo, what's really important to note is that these reports are based on an internal analysis done at the FDA. This is not peer reviewed. And details like the ages, underlying conditions, anything about causality are still not publicly clear. When we look at the science, when we look at large peer-reviewed studies over the last few years, we see that COVID vaccines significantly reduce severe illness and hospitalizations and have a strong overall safety profile, especially when you compare it to the risks of the COVID-19 infection itself.
So for families, I think the really practical question right now is, should my child get a COVID shot this season?
And the science-based answer right now is that for kids with high-risk conditions, major pediatric groups still see a net benefit in vaccinations. And for healthy kids, this risk-benefit balance may be more nuanced than earlier in the pandemic. And we recommend talking with your pediatrician, your family doctor, about what's right for your family, especially if there are any high-risk family members in your home.
And because we know that vaccine policy is more politicized than ever, just roll back and see, many of our prior episodes.
It's true.
We'll just keep coming back to the same principles. Look for peer-reviewed data and major medical society statements.
Be skeptical of anything that has a zero risk or all risk narrative. Reality has a lot more gray.
And remember that when you're making decisions for your family, absolute risk levels and your child's specific health matters more than slogans.
All right. So with that, we've done a run through flu right now, RSV right now, COVID right now. So let's land this. If I'm a parent listening to this right now, give me a checklist of what it is that I need to do.
So here's your winter virus family game plan. Less fun than the Winter Olympics game plan.
It's true.
One, consider the big three vaccines. Flu, for most kids and adults, the answer is still yes, get it, even though it is later in the season.
RSV, we think about this especially with babies. If you're pregnant or you have a young infant or a toddler with chronic conditions, there are some really good options out there for increased protections. Talk to your doctor.
And for COVID, talk to your doctor. It's still highly recommended for high-risk kids, for adults, and for others, this is now a little bit more of a judgment call. It's not a blanket mandate the way that it used to be, but it's still worth talking to your physician about deciding what is the best plan for you and your family.
So that's number one, the three big vaccines. Number two, we want to think about improving air and timing, not just hand sanitizer. So what this means is that if you're in a closed space, think about improving the flow of air. Is that cracking a window? Is that having an air filter, a HEPA filter? And timing of meetups, if someone's not feeling well, just delay. I know it could be disappointing when you've been looking forward to something, but it's better to wait a few days or a week until everyone is well than pushing that gathering forward and now everyone's going to be sick.
It's why a lot of Uber drivers still crack windows. And HEPA filters, which are effective against COVID, are surprisingly affordable. I was surprised when I bought my first HEPA filter that it wasn't like thousands of dollars for your household.
We have them set up in every room, and in larger rooms, we have a few of them. So it's something that you can think about. So we've got the vaccines, we've got thinking about airflow, timing of gatherings. What else can families do?
Stay home when you are sick. This is so key.
Even during the holidays?
Even during the holidays. A lot of spread happens because everyone feels the pressure to push through holidays. You want to see the people visiting. You want to hang out with your friends. Who wants to have their few days off from work lying in bed? You want to take advantage of the activities. You get to spread love and germs.
Instead, give yourself permission to bow out and understand that that is protecting the people that you love. And then you can catch up on the new season of Vanderpump Rules. Is there a new season of Vanderpump Rules? I've been hearing people talk about it. So I feel like there is a new season of Vanderpump Rules, and this is your time to get caught up.
And then lastly, pay attention to your mental health. Mental health matters too.
Because viruses don't just hit your lungs. When you are ill, your sleep is disrupted and your routines are disrupted, which can worsen anxiety and mood, especially for kids who already struggle. So this is a good time before the holidays get all the way underway to make a plan for backup childcare if someone is sick. Thinking about what's a low-key sick day routine that you might want to do so kids don't feel like they're doom-scrolling or isolated all day. And then check in with people emotionally after they've recovered, because it can be really rough to go through these illnesses.
It's not only hard when your kid is sick. I can't imagine myself being sick while also taking care of children that are sick.
I like to pick up art kits in advance. You know, they've got those little $5 or $10 prepackaged art kits from Target or Michael's or wherever, which has age-appropriate activities to do. And I like to pick those up when I'm feeling well. So I've got them in the closet in case I'm sick and my child needs to be entertained.
And so that's our episode for today. Flu, COVID, RSV, winter is here.
Flu is here. H3N2 subclade K is real. And vaccines still matter.
Especially for preventing hospitalizations.
And for RSV, yes, it remains a large threat for infants, but we have new powerful tools.
And COVID has moved from being the predominant virus to one of the many viruses in the background.
But stay vigilant. It still is causing a lot of hospitalizations and deaths, and your family has options to protect yourself. And remember, your family's plan, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be intentional. A few well-chosen steps, like making sure your vaccination coverage is up to date, thinking about ventilation in your home, having a plan to stay home when you're sick, these things can go a long way.
And that's our show for this week.
Thank you for tuning in. This is the Rollin' Forward podcast, and I'm Dr. Stephanie Rollin.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rollin.
Leave us a 5-star review, share this with a friend, send us a message at rollinforwardshow@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening. Stock up on supplies and take care. Oh, that makes sense. My brain is not working. I was like, parents of babies. What is a parent of a baby? Okay. No, that's me. That's me. You were fine. You were fine. I just was staring at that. I was like, I don't.
It's a baby parent? A baby who's a parent or a parent who has a baby? Who knows? Either is reasonable at this point.